burdens are laid down. If you'll turn with us this morning to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, we will take our reading, actually the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for everyone that's here. We have some visitors with us, and we're thankful for that. My good brother, Scott Hoskins, and his good wife, Sister Amanda, so thankful to have them from Indiana with us this morning. And Brother Martin Gregory, thankful for him this morning being here. I will say this, preacher in the congregation, I know they're praying for you because they know how it is to stand where I am this morning, and I need the Lord's help. I will tell you a little bit about where this message came to me. We were at New Bethel last Sunday evening. Pa was preaching. We had dismissed our services here. And I already, after that morning service here, had already begun to think about what I needed to preach this morning. And sometimes that comes pretty early on in the week, and sometimes it waits to the 11th hour, and then it sneaks in. But as we were looking through the Bible and we were praying, and we've looked at these verses a number of times, and as we were reading these scriptures, God had just begun his sermon. He titled his and talked about a journey, and I thought, well, these verses fit right in with that somewhat. But this thought came to me, and a few weeks ago we had a singing practice on a Sunday night, and something that someone mentioned was that we as a church needed a burden. We as individuals need burdens. I agree with that statement. I think God's people need a burden. It seems here lately we have laxed on our burden bearing or our asking for burdens. And I agree, we need a burden for our lost loved ones, our lost friends, our communities, our churches. We need burdens today like we have never needed before. And people have needed them in times past, but we need them today in our very church here at Mount Calvary. But the thought came to me, when burdens are laid down. Now I want you to understand something about these scriptures this morning. There's a whole lot about a rest that is here. Now, I'll tell you, in a Baptist church, you start talking about rest and everybody gets crazy. Everybody likes the term rest. I do. You start talking about work and everybody starts getting out of their seats and asking, why is the preacher saying we need to work? They don't like the word work in a Baptist church. I know sometimes I don't. I work all week, and you get to church on Sunday morning, the preacher gets up there talking about there's things we must do, and everybody gets a little apprehensive. But you say the term rest, and everybody kind of relaxes just a little bit. I enjoy rest. You tell me I can rest, and I'm not going to ask you another question about it. I'm going to take you up on it. I look forward to Saturdays a lot now. My weeks are filled with all kinds of things. So Saturday rolls around and I have this idea that I'm going to rest all day. But you know what? That never quite works out that way. I have noticed that when you get to adulthood and you start advancing in adulthood, rest is a whole lot less that you come by as the days go by. I've got a bunch of rest today that are retired. And you say, well, I get to rest. Maybe you have these dreams or these ideas that all you'll get to do is rest. I'm convinced in this life, we don't get to rest a whole lot. There's not a lot of rest to be found in this world. None of us truly rest in this body. But there is a rest for those that are saved. You see, this body that I live in, it likes to rest. It needs a little rest every now and then. Found rest one night when I was a little boy at an altar of prayer at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church. People today, why are we in the predicament, the things that we're in? It's because people are so in turmoil over everything that they're missing out on the greatest peace that there ever has been in knowing our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. If this whole world knew more about Christ, I believe our world would be a whole lot better of a place. I believe that we've got people today that are scriptures are going to talk about that just a little bit. I want you to understand, when we talk about these verses, there's a whole lot of different rests that are involved. And we're going to try to get through most of them if we can this morning, but we need the Lord's help. The first verse says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time as it is said, Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then He would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, I want you to understand who we're talking about this morning. Most of us remember a man named Moses. We remember a group of people called the children of Israel. God told Moses, He said, "You're going to lead my children out of the hands of bondage. You're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to lead them out." And Moses, the famous line, "Who am I that I'm the one that leads them out?" And he goes, and guess what? After a little bit of battle with Pharaoh, Moses is able to lead the children of Israel out of bondage with Aaron's help. Most of all, he had God's help, and that's what mattered overall. But you see, Moses and the children of Israel, Moses being a great man, a very astute man, a man of uprightness. I believe Moses, in the Bible, it says he was a preacher. I believe he talks about in the Scriptures that Moses was a great man. He was a man that was able to take the children of Israel out of a very precarious predicament and lead them into what the Lord called the Promised Land, a place flowing with milk and honey. It was a place called Canaan. You see, this people, and it wasn't just a handful that were being let out. This was an entire group of people that were traversing across this land. And we have books in the Bible about their journey to Canaan. There's entire scriptures that are written about this journey that led them from Pharaoh's hand until they could get to Canaan. See, I like to read about the children of Israel because I look a lot and I see a lot of myself in the children of Israel. I see a lot of the same bad things they did in myself. I see a lot of the things they did good in what we try to do today. They mimic us in a lot of ways. We mimic them in a lot of ways. Let me put that in the right order. We do a lot of the same things that they did. We murmur, we complain, we get upset, we get downhearted, and then we're up on the mountain for a little while. It's easy to do. But you see, the children of Israel had been in this wilderness for a long, long time. And they didn't have any water. We read over in the book of Exodus where the Lord Moses began to pray to the Lord. And these people had no water for them. And Moses told the Lord, "They're about ready to stone me, and I have no water for them." And God told Moses, "You take the rod and you smite the rock, and water shall be provided for you." This is the first time that this has happened. I want you to understand, this was a time when God truly showed Himself to Moses. Now Moses was able to see some of the greatest miracles that God ever performed in the Old Testament. was able to see God Himself. He said He hid Himself in the cleft of the rock when God passed by so He couldn't look at Him. Moses, being who that he was the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. I believe Moses was also a man that was after God's own heart. Moses, I believe, loved God. But even Moses himself carried a great burden to lead the children of Israel from Pharaoh. It says that they wandered 40 years. Now, we're not talking about a great big landmass they were walking around on for 40 years. You might ask, why didn't they just get to go straight up from Pharaoh's hand into Canaan land? There was a lot that the children of Israel did that they weren't supposed to do. We read about them turning to idolatry many, many times. Turning away from God. Falling as low as a people could. Doesn't that sound like us today? We turn to everything else a lot of times. But God, our nation has turned from almost everything to everything else but God Himself. The children of Israel got a little thirsty once more. And Moses goes back to God and he says, they're thirsty again. Read about it in Numbers chapter 22 through 13. And God tells Moses, you speak to the rock and water shall come from you. You know what Moses did? A man that loved God, that saw God do amazing things. He took that rod. Moses telling his people, almost in a show of what I, Moses, can do, took that rock and he just smote it with that rock. You know what happened? God fulfilled the promise. He allowed water to flow from that rock. Oh, but God was upset with old Moses. He was upset with the way that Moses had conducted himself. You know what God told Moses? He said, you can look over in the Canaan land, but you will not get to leave the nation. Can you imagine how Moses must have felt? Been leading these people for 40 years. Now these people were just like you and I. And then he couldn't lead them over. Joshua would be the one that would lead them in to this beautiful land of milk and honey. There's some scripture in the 95th Psalm. It says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation or temptation. When these people, these children of Israel, they tempted God. I'm not convinced the same people that were led out of Pharaoh's bondage were the same people that were led in to that land of milk and honey. You see, there was a lot of attrition. People died from the time that Pharaoh let them go to the time that they entered the land of milk and honey. They had been promised a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were many that never got to see it. Moses himself got to look over. He could see it, but he couldn't go in. But the Bible keeps talking about Canaan land being a place of rest. If we read over in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks again, if you'll read with me for just a few moments, this eighth verse here in this third chapter says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, speaking directly to that 95th Psalm. It says, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You may have questions this morning. You may say, preacher, does that mean those children of Israel, does that mean Moses died and went to hell? They didn't die and go to hell. He's not talking about that rest right there. You see, Moses had been promised this. But you see, these men had hardened their hearts to what God had told them would happen. You see, they turned against Him completely. You see, we talk about rest today. Over in the Matthew chapter 11, there's some scripture that says, come now, all of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We get up and we preach to lost sinners and we say, there is rest to be found. lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I promise you today, brothers and sisters, lost friends, as Moses and them over in the Old Testament never got to enter into that rest, there are going to be people today that will never experience the rest of God. There are people today that will never know what it's like to go to sleep at night and be at peace in your heart. There are people today that will never know what it's like to rest. We lay down in an easy chair and we think, man, a couple hours, I'm resting real good. We're not resting here. Your soul, if you're lost and in sin, and you know that you're lost and out in sin, it will never find rest in anything. Last Sunday we preached about what it would profit if you gained everything and lost your soul. You will never find rest in this world. Saved people, that goes for you too. You will never find rest in anything that you do, except when the Lord saves your soul. There are people today, even in our own churches, that get comfortable in this world. We get comfortable with the way that things are. We say, well, aren't things so good? Our lives get comfortable. We spend, and I'm 24 years old now. As I started that internship with the state, I kept thinking, well, you know, working for the state really don't have that bad of a thing. You get pretty good retirement at 24 years old. I'm thinking about retirement. Some of you have already gotten there. And you look back and you say, where has time gone? We've spent all of our lives making a home here. And just look where we're at. We still are not resting in anything that we have. I'm going to tell you today, I don't like to get too comfortable here. I don't want to be comfortable in this world. This world has nothing to offer us, but Christ does. And He said, lest any of you fall from this promise, fall away from this promise, enter into this rest. You see, the first type of rest that a person must know is a rest for their soul. If you don't know that type of rest, you'll never experience where burdens are laid down. You'll never know what it's like to truly rest. I guess the closest in this life to truly being relaxed, a couple years ago we took a cruise. I was talking to my parents and grandparents last night and I said, I would just get up early in the morning, and I'd get on that top deck and the wind would be blowing. And I'd have a book and I'd just look out. My cell phone didn't work. Nothing worked except just that book. Had my Bible and I could talk to the Lord. I guess that's as close to rest as I've ever found for this body in this world. I told you already I found rest one night when the Lord saved my soul. You see, there's some things I don't worry about anymore. There's a world out there today that is falling away from God. They are turning away from God in the millions. Don't believe me, you just turn on your news, look at your Facebooks, look at your Twitters. The world is turning away from God. It is concerning to me. And you say, preacher, what you're about to say sounds awfully mean. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't worry so much about myself. You see, if the world falls today, I'm all right. But if the world falls for you, lost friend, I'm worried about you. You see, in that end, though, I'm going to a far better country. I won't even remember who you are. But down here, I'm worried about you. I don't rest because of you. We talk about a burden. We need a burden for our lost loved ones and friends. They need to get in bed with us at night when we look down at our plate of food in the afternoon. We need to look and see their faces and see them dying and going to hell. Why, preacher? Why should I be concerned? Because we're not home yet. We're not home yet. I get home in the afternoons and I think, good gracious, it's good to finally be home from a day of work. Maybe I can rest.
but I haven't gotten truly home yet. See, this body is still here. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, and I believe we'll just turn over there so I don't misquote it. 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Beautiful scriptures. He says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and this is what I am, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I told you our theme this morning is when burdens are laid down. I want to go back to this 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it talks about entering into that rest. You go over into the 9th verse of this chapter, and it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Oh, sweet rest. With Paul saying, I am confident, willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. What was he saying? I would rather go home to be with the Lord than to stay here. Paul also said, to die is a gain. The world doesn't understand that. When we talk about dying being a gain for us, what a joy. That's why it says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. You see, there are people today, maybe you believe this, that once you get saved, that's all there is to it. People believe today you can get saved and never do anything for God. I'm going to tell you, if that's the way that you feel, if that's your attitude, you had better check what the Lord has done for you. Because there is something inside of us that is a draw to God. When it says, I would rather be with the Lord than to be in this body, what does that mean? This soul longs to be with its Creator. It longs to go back to be in the presence of the Savior. It longs for that. So what are we doing? It says labor. Boy, there's that word work. It's a labor. Every one of us this morning are laboring that have been saved by the grace of God. We are laboring. To what? To enter God's rest. You say, preacher, you're saying we can work our way into heaven. No. 1,000 times no. You can work your way even to the gates themselves. Can't do it. What are we laboring for? To enter God's rest. Think about this for a moment. You ever had, and it's in the book today, I guess these thoughts come out a little bit ahead of the sermon. Have you ever had a week that just was as long as it's ever been? Stretch out and it feels just as good as it ever has. Your body is free. You don't have to get up in the morning relatively early. You don't have to move very far if you don't want to, unless you have a whole lot planned. And then you know what thought creeps in your mind? Mondays only. Every time I get off of work on Friday night, I'm thinking, oh, good gracious, Monday's going to be here before I know it. I better get in everything I can before Monday rolls around. I guess Sister B and Brother Coleman are probably two of the oldest here this morning. Probably been saved. Probably the longest in our church. They've been laboring for all time. A whole lot of Friday afternoons in their service for God. There's a whole lot about working for God that gets you down and dirty and in the trenches. And we get tired. Your body gets tired. This mind, this soul, it gets weary. Every one of us, we get tired. I get tired of that. You probably are the same way. These bodies, they get worn out. I was looking in the mirror this morning. I said, you just get uglier by the day. The wrinkles, they are starting to come forward. The blemishes, they're here. The gray hair, they move in. It's a sign of getting older. Paul talked about in his sermon last Sunday evening. He said, we're all on a journey. Those that have been saved by the grace of God, we are on a journey. And where are we headed? To where burdens are laid down. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a place of eternal rest. And it's not a place for those that are lost and out in sin. It's not a place for those that don't know the rest of God. You see, I'm convinced the reason that God's people love those services where the Spirit comes on the scene and blesses them so much is because that soul gets close to God. And they long to be in the very presence of Him all the time. But you know what? These old bodies, they prohibit us from being in the Spirit all day, every day. I tell you what, you preach a couple times on Sunday morning or Sunday and you go home on Sunday night and you just barely can get in the bed sometimes when the Spirit has moved on you in such a mighty way. I don't begrudge that at all. I'm thankful for that. And after a long time, it says there remaineth, there's something left for us. I want to encourage us this morning for just a little bit. Every one of us. You may be sitting here and saying, preacher, I don't have a job in the church. I don't. If you have been saved by the grace of God, there is something for you to do. Every single one of us has something that we can contribute to our churches and to those around us. It may not be preaching a sermon. You may never, you women, you'll never stand behind this book board and try to preach. I'm sorry about it. Actually, I'm not sorry about it. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to apologize for it. Some of you will never lead a song. Some of you will never play the piano. Some of you will never be deacons in the church. But guess what? There's a job for you. And we are commissioned to labor, to toil, to keep going, to keep moving. Why? Because there's a day of rest coming for us. Have you ever thought about that day of perfect rest? I was listening to a song yesterday as I was driving. And it said, heaven's gates I now can see as they open wide for me. Swing wide the gates, I'm coming home. Every one of us are heading home. Some of us will head home after a while. We'll go back to our respective homes. I live at 210 Cedar Point Parkway over on the Bell Road. But that's not home. I get homesick a lot. Say, preacher, you don't go very far very often. I'm not talking about homesick for here. I'm talking about I get homesick for heaven. I get homesick to go where long people are. I just want to keep living as long as they can. I want to live as long as God allows me to live. Well, He's done with me. Appeals to keep me here. I'm ready to go. These bodies were not meant to stay. The Scripture says that we are dust. Yes, who remembers that? The Lord Himself. It says, from the dust you were created, and from the dust you will return. Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians, this is a beautiful thing, and I may have talked about it last Sunday. He talked about a reunion of soul and body. He said, brethren, I would have you not be ignorant concerning this thing. Have you just thought about it? When we die, our body goes to sleep in the grave. Our soul goes to heaven. But someday, the trump of God shall sound and time will end. Oh, what a day. And guess what? That old body and that soul will be reunited in the air. And it won't be this body that you see before me. It'll be that brand new body that the Lord has created for us. And guess where it goes? Not to labor in this world ever again. Guess what? Someday I'll preach my last sermon. I'll enter the doors of a church house for the last time. I'll sing my last song on this side. And then I shall go to sleep. My body shall in the grave. But that soul will be singing in the presence of an almighty God. I won't have to worry about studying the Bible anymore, knowing everything I can about it, so that I can exhort those that are lost, tell them about where they're going. For I will have laid it all behind. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I quote these scriptures an awful lot, but I think they apply. Paul said, for I have fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me and for all of those that love His appearing. I don't preach that works get you to heaven, because they don't. You can do everything you can in this body to work your way into heaven, and guess what you'll do? You will die and go straight to hell. It's the way it works. But I'm very much a believer, when you get saved, you better start working for God. You know why? And you say, preacher, this sounds like a very silly thing. Someday when we lay this walk of life down, we will go to rest. And when you've worked hard and you've worked as hard as you can for something, and it's finally over, and you can finally rest from it, the rest sure is sweet. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Brother Colin did. He talked about the rewards. He said he didn't know what the rewards would be. Guess what? I don't necessarily know all about the rewards that will be given in heaven. I'll tell you this, though. The Bible says that we will gain them when we have tried our best and we've worked our hardest for serving the Lord. But I believe this. Even if we didn't get one reward when we got there, you know what we would be able to say? It has been worth every single mile that we've traveled. It's been worth every day that we've lived. It's not always easy. Life is not always fun. The things that happen to us, they're not always good. But there remains a rest to the people of God. We sing about it. We talk about it. We envision it. I've never been to heaven, but there are some times in this whole world we get just about as close to heaven as you can get. And brothers and sisters, someday I'll leave behind all of this life, and I'll go to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not because I've been good, but because of that rest that I experienced for my soul. If you don't know that rest this morning, I urge you to know it. Find that rest. It is in Christ Jesus. There is no other rest that you'll ever find but Him and Him alone. I'm thankful this morning for that rest. Amen. And I'm thankful that it's still out there. It remains. Why does it remain? Because you're here this morning. You're not there yet. It's still awaiting us. But let me give you just a piece of advice this morning. Don't get weary in your well-doings. We're not home yet. We're not done yet. If you're still here, you still got a job to do. I look forward to going. I can get a little homesick and I can almost feel it sometimes. But my time isn't finished on this side just yet. Now, it may be before I get back tonight. And brothers and sisters, if it is, and you come around and you view in the casket the body that I once lived in, some of you may cry, and if you do, you just will. If you get upset, well, I realize there's sadness in death. I understand that. I'm sad when people depart as well. But if when you pass by the old casket there, and they sing a pretty song or two, and the preacher gets up and he preaches a sermon, and I hope and I pray that the person that preaches my funeral someday, that he'll preach to the lost. And he'll tell him about a place that they can go to if they get saved. But if when you look at that body, don't say, oh, he's gone. Just say, he's in a better place. He's resting from his labors. The funerals that I've preached, the funerals that I've been to, there's a common term or saying that they usually use, and it's rest in peace. Sadly, I believe there's a lot of people that have left this world and are not resting in peace. I understand the premise behind it. I understand why we say it. For the children of God, we truly shall rest in peace. If you're here today and you die lost, the Bible says that that second death is an eternal death, meaning that you die eternally. You never stop dying. You will never rest. You will never find peace, and you will never find comfort. But I can assure you today, as you look on me, and I pray that every one of you that comes around, if it's today, if it's tomorrow, I pray that you can say, I'll just meet you in the morning. As Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, He told His apostles and His disciples, He said, watch and pray while I go. And He came back out and He saw them and they were asleep. And He said, sleep on and take your rest, for the Son of Man must go. I've thought about that many times. Sleep on and rest now. Brothers and sisters, we can't rest. We can't stop. We must keep going. May God help you is our prayer this morning. There's a place where burdens are laid down, but they're not here. So pick them up and let's keep going. Let's win the lost at any cost. May God bless you is our prayer. While we'll stand together and while we sing. If you hear this